Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, the good news of God, which he, God, had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. We'll be preaching the gospel tonight, and we'll be preaching about a living Christ who hath power to save to the very uttermost all who will come unto God through faith in him. Verse 16, please. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And God will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. God and God alone is the author of eternal salvation. Through the prophet he saith, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Now there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. For it's the way of the cross leads home, and there's no other way but this, and the gates of light we would ne'er gain sight if the way of the cross we miss. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son into the world, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that through faith in Christ we might be accepted by God. And Christ on Calvary's cross became the accomplisher of God's salvation. And the Holy Spirit who is in the world today is the administrator of that salvation. God's salvation is a powerful salvation. God's salvation is able to save men and women to the very uttermost. For Jesus Christ is declared to be the Son of power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Christ lives in the power of an endless life, and he is mighty to save. And we pray in this meeting tonight that some precious soul might prove in their own experience that the gospel of Christ is indeed the power of God unto salvation. Now I want you to think first of all with me of the individuality of the gospel of Christ. When Paul uses the personal pronoun I instead of the editorial we, he is emphasizing the individuality of the gospel. Paul had experienced for himself personally the saving power of the gospel. For God deals with each individual personally. Let me say to the Christian father in this meeting that you cannot believe for the unsaved son. And you, dear Christian mother, cannot believe for the unsaved daughter. Each one must personally repent and believe the gospel for himself or herself. For the gospel of Christ is for the individual, and each individual must trust in the risen Savior personally. Now, has there ever been a time in your personal experience when you're all you ventured on Christ's atoning blood and the Holy Spirit entered and you were born again of God? Can you look back to a personal encounter with Christ when you called upon the name of the Lord, repenting of your sins and asking him to save your soul? Have you had such a personal experience? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Is your name written there on those pages bright and fair? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? But Paul not only speaks of the individuality of the gospel of Christ, he also speaks of the peculiarity of the gospel of Christ. For Paul saith, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul is ready to preach the gospel at Rome, for he's not ashamed to preach Christ and him crucified. For it is the power of God unto salvation. He's not ashamed to preach the gospel in proud imperial Rome, even though the message of the cross would be thought of as foolishness, a thing of ridicule and scorn. And in this we see the peculiarity of the gospel, in the shame that is associated with it. Unfortunately, even Christians are often ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Many can talk about contemporary religions or speak out boldly on moral issues. Yet when it comes to owning their Lord, maintaining the honor of his name, defending his cause, and the glory of his cross, they are strangely silent. And I don't know why. And this is exactly what Satan wants. He wants Christians to be ashamed of the glorious message of the cross. But like Paul, we should glory in the cross. We should never be ashamed of its message or of the hope that it brings. I am not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his cross and preach the glory of his name. Friends, never be ashamed of Jesus, because that name means Savior. He's the one who came into the world to save his people from their sins. But Paul not only speaks of the individuality of the gospel and of the peculiarity of the gospel, but he brings out in this great text the personality of the gospel. And I like the way Pastor Chardwell prayed tonight. He prayed that Christ was the only Savior, and so he is. And Paul could never be ashamed of the gospel, because it came from God, and it centered and his only begotten Son. The gospel of God concerns his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, but raised again the third day from the grave. And up from the grave he arose. And he lives in the power
of an endless life. Friend, let me say it, he's mighty to save. The gospel proclaims that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to be lifted up on a cross, to die an atoning death, to be buried and rise again the third day. Christ, therefore, is the central personality of the gospel. He's the object of saving faith. And if ever you have the opportunity of preaching the gospel, never ever leave the personality out of the gospel message. For Christ is the center, the very heartbeat of the good news of God. What is the gospel message? It concerns God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And when we preach Christ and Him crucified, at the same time we preach a risen Savior. Fourthly, I want you to think with me of the invincibility of the gospel of Christ. Paul could say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." And that speaks of the invincibility of this message. There is no power in this world, whatever its source, can be compared to the power of God as demonstrated in the gospel of Christ. And this power is as invincible as it is incomparable. For it can make the vilest sinner who truly believes a child of God with new desires for the things of God. The gospel of Christ has the power to change and transform men's lives. And for this reason, Christians need never be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. 37 years ago this month, I first trusted in Christ. I can go back to the very spot, or at least I remember the very spot, when I called upon the name of the Lord. In the little vestry in Windsor Avenue Baptist Church in Lurgan. And I came to Jesus as I was, burdened with the load of guilt and sin, convinced in my own heart and soul that I was a sinner traveling a broad road to eternal destruction. The Spirit of God awakened in my heart the need of Christ to be my Savior. And how well I remember the night, oh precious night, when I bowed my knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I called upon the name of the Lord. I remember getting down on my knees, and I wouldn't even lift my head heavenwards, but bowed toward the ground, and I cried, "Lord Jesus, save me a sinner." And at that moment, I passed out of death into life. I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. I got up from my knees a new creature in Christ, with new desires for holiness, with a new love for my Savior. And friend, He transformed and He changed my life. And I want to thank God tonight I'm saved. Thank God tonight I'm on my way to heaven. Thank God tonight that Jesus loved me This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Are you saved tonight? It's the power of God, I tell you, unto salvation to everyone that will believe. Fifthly, I want you to think with me just now of the practicability of the gospel of Christ. And you'll find in the words, unto salvation. For the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. And this speaks of the practicability of the gospel. You see, the gospel is practical in that it provides salvation, which is the greatest need of the human race tonight. And the gospel not only delivers sinners from the penalty of sin, but also from the wrath of God. God takes the believing sinner from the wrecked mass of humanity, from the broad road that's leading to eternal destruction, and he puts him in a place of safety and saves his life from destruction. And these are the things that God does for the man or the woman who puts their faith and trust in Christ. God's salvation is a great salvation. Not only does it save us from the penalty and the deserts of sin. My sins deserved eternal death. But Jesus died for me. But not only did Christ save me from the penalty and the deserts of sin, but thank God, as I live for him and walk in him, he saves me from the power and the dominion of sin. He enables me by the indwelling Spirit to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes I hear people say that if they got saved, they wouldn't be able to keep it. My dear friend, God's not asking you to keep it. Christ will keep you the moment you put your faith and your trust in him. I well remember one night, away west of the Ban, as the people from Fermanagh like to say, and the pastor of the church down there invited me to preach. He says, "Graham, will you come west of the Ban?" Says I, "I will gladly." And I went the whole way to Enniskillen to preach. And in the gospel meeting that night, what a gospel meeting. I remember it yet. How God came in and blessed us. How God came in and saved. And as I preached on the little phrase, "Are there few that be saved?" And as I tried to portray men and women on a broad road going to destruction, there was a man sitting at the very back, and he put up his hand in the meeting and he said, "Sir, is that because we're all sinners?" And I said, "Son, it is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that God hath concluded the whole world guilty before him." And then I went on to show how men and women can be delivered from the broad road, and that's through faith in Christ. That there is a narrow road that leads to heaven and home. And I tried to picture the need of redemption. And again the chap in the back seat puts the hand up and he said, "Sir, and how do you get redeemed?" And how I was able to tell him that night that through the precious blood of Christ he could experience the forgiveness of sin. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then as I brought the meeting to a conclusion, I said, "If God has been speaking to someone in this meeting, and you would like to be saved, Well, Paul tells us in Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And just at that moment, the young man in the back pew got down on his knees. Not wonderful. Would that we would see God move again in our meeting. Would God that the Spirit would come mightily upon us, because Ireland needs a Savior. This land so green and fair, but it's burdened with sin and with broken lives. And few there are who care. The pastor phoned me during the week to say he was back in the meeting and back in the prayer meeting. Not lovely. And now, instead of wasting his substance on riotous living and sinful pleasures, he begins to use his money wisely, providing for his home and family. And in this we see the practicability of the gospel. You see, the gospel is practical in that it brings physical, material, and social blessings, as well as the benefits of salvation. Sixthly, I want you to think for a moment or two of the universality of the gospel. Now be careful of the word. I'm not thinking of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. That's a non-scriptural teaching. What I am thinking about is that this gospel is to be preached in all the world. That this gospel is to be preached to every creature. And the universality of the gospel is spoken of in the words, to everyone that believeth. You see, this speaks of the universality of the gospel. It's for every creature. God designed the gospel to meet the need of sinners of all nations, whatever their color, class, creed, or culture. Thank God for that. Christ died for all. So the gospel must be universally preached. Now, I know that not all men and women will be saved. I know that. But while the gospel of Christ is sufficient to meet the needs of all men, it is only efficient for those that will repent and believe. But you will need to repent and you need to believe. I was preaching up the country just last year, and a young man came to me after the meeting, and he said, I would love to be saved, but I can't be saved. And I said, son, who told you can't be saved? Oh, I can't be saved. I can't be saved. Well, this book tells me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I can't be saved. And I drew a little closer to him. And I put my arm gently round his shoulder. And I said, son, listen. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God can save you. I don't care what you have done. For this book teaches me that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Come on, son, let's bow the knee. Let's trust in Christ. And I put a little gentle pressure on his shoulders. And he got down under like that there, and away he went, out through the door. And I looked after him, just like Christ looked after the rich young ruler. And my soul went out after him. Deceived by the devil. Friend, watch you're not deceived now. For the God of this world is blinding the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them and they should be saved. Let me tell you, friend, there are no racial barriers as far as the gospel is concerned. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. There are no social barriers. From the mightiest monarch upon the throne to the most miserable mendicant of the highways and byways, this gospel is able to meet their needs. I don't care what your rank or station. I remember preaching in a tent mission with Pastor Billy Kennedy many years ago. And one of the things that Pastor Kennedy said in that mission, he said, the ground around the cross is level ground. It's the same for all men, no matter who they are. For God is no respecter of persons. There's room at the cross for you just now, if you'll come and trust in Christ. I tell you, friend, there's no racial barriers. There's no social barriers, and thank God there's no moral barriers. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And there's no personal barrier as to age or gender. Just come as you are and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And finally, the responsibility of the gospel. We have seen that the gospel is the gospel of God, for God is the author of eternal salvation. The risen Christ is the accomplisher of God's salvation. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of God's salvation. But you're responsible tonight. You're responsible as to what you do with Christ. How will you hear this message tonight now, you unsaved ones? Will you continue on in your sin, rejecting Christ? Will you go out into the night, still dead in trespasses and sins, still abiding under the wrath of God? Remember this, death is unpredictable. Death is unforgivable. Death can come unexpectedly. Prepare to meet your God. Flee from the wrath to come. Come to Christ. Come just as you are. The words that believeth speak of the responsibility of the gospel. Friend, it is the responsibility of man in the light of the gospel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with his whole heart. There are no other options, and there are no exceptions. If men are to be saved, they must believe in Christ. For it is faith in Christ that saves the sinner. Now listen to what I'm going to say now. And I don't want you to miss this. It is not faith that is the Savior. You can have faith in many things and not be saved. But it is impossible to have faith in Christ and not be saved. For faith only becomes saving faith when that faith rests in Christ the Savior. Is your faith in Christ tonight upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my all eternally. And as far as I'm concerned tonight, it is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. And my faith is not in works, it's not in ritual, it's not in the church, it's in Christ, and in Christ alone. Thank God, he hath power to save. Are you saved tonight? God will enlighten the sinner's darkened mind, work in him both to will and to do his good pleasure, for it's God's desire that sinners believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And while Paul says the gospel is for the Jew first, thank God it's not for him only. It's also for the Greek, for Gentiles, for Ulster men and women like you and me, that we might have all the opportunity to believe and be saved. God bless you. And if you're not saved, may God save you tonight. Thank you.